Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When Netflix's Bridgerton season 2 aired earlier this year, it swept the internet into a kind of frenzy that really only a juicy love story can. The show takes place in an alternate past, an imagined history in which people of color occupy positions of power within English nobility. It's been praised for its inclusive casting and depiction of interracial romance. But in reality, Bridgerton's source material features exclusively white main characters, as do the majority of historical romance novels. And new fans hoping to pick up a juicy romance novel might find themselves disappointed by the lack of representation within the plot lines. But there are authors of color writing historical romance about people of color, centering them and their experiences within the historical context of the story. So let's bring in two of those authors now. Beverly Jenkins is an acclaimed author known for her 19th century romances featuring black characters. Hi, Beverly.
How are you? Thanks for the invite.
And we're also joined by New York Times bestselling author Courtney Milan. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
So something that we often hear when people talk about this lack of diversity in historical pieces is it wouldn't be historically accurate. I wonder what you make of that argument. I mean, understanding that people of color did exist in the 19th century and even further back. Let me start with you, Beverly. What do you make of this argument that they have to be historically accurate?
You know, I think the people who are demanding this historical accuracy consider themselves experts, and they're not. Mm-hmm. We existed. We had lives. We had adventures. We had love. And I think it pays a... It's a disservice to us, those of us who write characters of color, that we are considered historically inaccurate.
Courtney, let me get your views on this as well, because there are lots of anachronisms in any historical romance novels. Why do you think it's the racial demographics that seem to really bother people?
Well, you know, the first thing I want to point out is that the idea that historical romances have to be set in England is kind of weird to start off with, because I believe there was history in other countries as well. Bev, you can back me up on that.
What?
Yeah.
I know. Shocking, right? When you're talking about fiction, I'm not sure what the word inaccuracy means, except something along the lines of, I don't want to believe in this particular fiction that you have come up with.
Yeah.
It's because they don't want to recognize what has been in the past.
Yeah. And it's outside of their comfort zone to have to know that a lot of the, you know, quote unquote English stuff was all based on the sugar and the slaves. They want to read about that. So,
I mean, that's such an excellent point, because I think every historical romance contains the products of people of color. Tea.
Yeah.
They all drink tea. Where did that tea come from? Cotton.
Right.
Some of that cotton was produced in England, but a lot of it came from the slaveholding South. Rum, sugar, China, silk. Most of the things that we see in historical romances that they use as markers of people's wealth are actually trade goods that were produced by people of color.
So, Beverly, you have been writing historical romance that featured black characters and black main characters since the 1990s, when there was even less representation in the genre. How difficult was it for you to make the case for your books, for books that were diverse?
I think the hardest thing for New York was that they didn't have a box for it. You know, back then, any fiction that involved 19th century black people was, quote unquote, supposed to be revolved around slavery. So here I am with this story of a Oberlin-educated black school teacher, the Buffalo Soldiers, which was the most recognized army unit in the West that people don't know about, and they're living in an all-black town on the plains of Kansas after the Great Exodus of 1879, which they also didn't know about. And they were like, what are we supposed to do with this? This doesn't fit in any boxes that we have. I got enough rejections to paper, My House, Your House, and Courtney's. And they loved the writing, but there was always but. And the but was, we don't know anything about Black love. We don't know anything about Black history. So that was my biggest challenge.
And Courtney, many of your earlier books revolved around white characters, and a number of your recent releases have really prominently featured characters of color, including a number of them with have Chinese heritage, which is something you share with them. What changed?
Well, you know, I think a big part of it was me asking questions of myself about what I was writing. I started writing books about white characters because that's what I was reading. And I sort of innately felt like that's what historical romance was. But as time went on and I was writing these stories, and especially as I started drifting towards like the latter half of the 19th century, I started thinking to myself, I'm writing this book that's set in 1870. That is when my great-great-grandparents first left China. Why am I writing about white people when I feel that my heritage contains things that I've learned personally through my family history that no one's writing about and that I think are important and interesting and would make a good story?
It's a common assumption in any form of art, whether it be a movie or book or otherwise, that one of the reasons there aren't a lot of people of color in historical novels is because when you go back through history, the people of color are always suffering. So, Beverly, your books include a lot of African-American history, and they include a lot of joy, struggles too, but joy.
Yeah, that's that very, very narrow lens that history looks at my race with. They think that we get up every morning and we bemoan the fact that we are Black and, you know, struggling, and they leave out the parts about birthday parties and that old couple at church who've been married for 50 years and are still holding hands, walking to the parking lot. All of the things that bring joy to the rest of the world is a joy that we as people of color also celebrate.
I don't want to give the impression that because you two are successful in featuring really a whole host of different races and types of people in your romance novels that we've fixed the problem of representation in the genre. There was a controversy that unfolded with the Romance Writers Association in 2019, Courtney. You were temporarily expelled from the organization because you called out racism within the genre on social media. But earlier the same year, they'd awarded you for promoting diversity within the association. How do you, there's some cognitive dissonance here. How do you make sense of this?
I don't think it makes sense, honestly. I think that, I don't think I could possibly answer that question in 11 hours, let alone 11 minutes. I will just, okay, I think the easiest answer for me to give is this. I think people are afraid of change because when they hear people want representation in romance, they fear, oh, well, that's not my books. So then I will not be as popular. I'll make less money.
Do you think, Beverly, that Bridgerton, the popularity of a show like Bridgerton, strengthens the case for representation within your genre of publishing?
Not if it's just going to be the only one. Hmm. I mean, you have authors of color writing fabulous books, fabulous series, and Bridgerton's the only one that's been quote-unquote picked so far. I don't see a lot of press releases about Courtney's stuff being optioned or, you know, you just got the one. It's the token, so you would hope that it would open the doors, but so far it has not.
So what do you hope for the genre's future when it comes to romance novels? What's your ideal future? Let me begin with you, Courtney.
I would say my ideal future is one in which we see representation on a level that we've never seen before. You know, if you think about the fact that for every Beverly Jenkins we have who has been publishing since 1990, there are how many hundreds of white writers who have been doing the same thing? just what we have right now in terms of the romance canon is so radically stacked against representation. And I want to also point out that stacking goes not just in terms of race, although this stacks alongside race, but also in terms of where people come from. I have never read a romance novel from Korea. The translation goes one way, from English into other languages, and it almost never comes back. We've had a few instances of books that have gotten translated that have done reasonably well, and I just wish we had more publishers thinking about publishing as a truly global endeavor.
So that is Courtney Milan and Beverly Jenkins, both best-selling authors of historical romance novels. Thanks so much to both of you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for the invite.